when it comes to Jesus, nothing is wasted. My tears, the painful lessons, my worship, nothing is wasted.
From Crossroads Media, this is See Here Love with Melinda Esterbrooks, Season 10, Episode Number 18.
Well, welcome to See Here Love and the second week of our very special three-part Bible series called Jesus's Encounters with Women. And last week we listened and learned about Jesus's encounter with the woman with the issue of blood, a deeply moving moment around this table. And this week we'll be learning about the woman with the alabaster jar and her encounter with Jesus. And we want you to follow along with us, engage, learn with us. So go to our website at seeherelove.com/Jesus Encounter Study and download this free Bible study guide right here with prayers and places for you to write your notes and your learning. So please do that now. And welcome back, panel. Great to have you here. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's do some introductions because I'd love to introduce around the table. Ann Voskamp, mom of seven. Wow, that's another show we must do. Four-times New York Times bestselling author, blogger, international speaker, and wife to one fine Canadian farmer. I always love that.
The so fine.
We need to bring him on sometime if he does come. That would be fun.
So fun.
Yes.
Thank you, Melinda.
And we're excited to hear your teaching soon.
So grateful to be here. Thank you.
Amazing. And beside you, Cheryl Nemhart, familiar face. Wow, international speaker, author, podcaster, TV host, and social justice advocate. And you are currently the director of the Women's Speakers Collective, empowering women's voices worldwide. Well done.
So
proud of you.
Here. Guess who I get to sit beside?
I know. Lucky you. Amazing. And finally, Dr. Beth Green, provost and chief academic officer of Tyndale University in Toronto, a fellow of the Royal Society of the Arts, and a graduate of Oxford, Cambridge, and London universities. We have a smart one, ladies, at the table.
Yes, you're all smart.
And a former high school teacher, you are an expert in religious school ethos, teaching and learning, and social theory and education. Welcome.
Thank you, Melinda.
All right, Anne, are you ready? We are diving in and ready for you to teach us on the woman with the alabaster jar found in Luke 7:36-39 and 44-50.
Yes.
So we're getting out our notes and we are ready to hear the story.
Okay, so we have Jesus, who is seen as a teaching rabbi, who is coming through communities, teaching, and earlier in the day, there is a woman who perhaps she's on the margins, the fringe of the crowd, and she hears this visiting teaching rabbi, and she knows her own past and her own story. And something this visiting rabbi says really breaks her wide open, not only to her past, but to the possibility of forgiveness and hope for a different future. Later on in the evening, the religious leaders, the Pharisees at that time, one of the leading Pharisees, Simon, he would like to invite this visiting rabbi to his home for dinner. And what that would look like at this particular time in Jewish history is coming into a courtyard, and it would be reclining at a table. And this prestigious Pharisee, he has invited the important to this meal. Okay. And we'll pick it up here then in Luke 7 and then come back around. So one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with an expensive perfume. And she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. And then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man was a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner. And we're going to drop down to verse 44 here. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love.
Wow.
Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. Simon the Pharisee was a man who knew much, but didn't actually know Jesus very much. The woman who comes in to meet with Jesus, we read this entire text, she speaks not at all. She says absolutely nothing.
Wow.
But her actions convey so much of her own heart and how she feels about the Lord. She doesn't have a towel, but she uses her hair to wash Jesus' dusty, dirty feet. The custom at the time was, because they're wearing sandals on dusty roads, when they came in, hospitality looked like washing the feet of your guests. Yet Simon, he is so pretentious and perhaps proud that he doesn't humble himself. But this woman, who knows she is forgiven of so much, she loves so much that she bows down in humility. She weeps at Jesus' feet, and she sees her tears running across Jesus' dusty feet, and then decides, oh, I will wash his feet. She doesn't have that towel, uses her hair, and takes an alabaster jar and breaks the neck of it to open it, to pour out all of the expensive ointment and nard on Jesus, like an anointing for his coming death. It's an expression of her deep love for Jesus. Many would have said, oh, this is scandalous. At the time, for a woman to unbind her hair in public was grounds for her husband to divorce her. But she doesn't care whether she's seen as scandalous. She wants to express her lavish love for Jesus. Like Jesus says, she knows that she has been forgiven much, so she has shown me much love. As you said earlier, Melinda, it is a profoundly moving passage that speaks to what can be our religious pride, can speak to how are we known in a community? What would it feel like if everyone around this table or everyone watching knew all of our deepest sins?
Right.
A woman known for being immoral, and yet she knows she's safe enough to come before Jesus with such repentance for her past that she weeps with such love at Jesus' feet.
Wow.
And Jesus says to Simon, look at this woman. When Simon looked at this woman, he couldn't see who she was now because he only saw who she was in the past.
Right.
When we see people, do we see them in this redemptive moment of hope? Or do we only frame them as their past actions? So as we sit with this passage from Luke 7, what stood out to you in this encounter with Jesus? Because these aren't just characters on a page. These are real people who encountered Jesus.
Yeah.
And now as we enter the text, we too can encounter Jesus with our stories. So, Cheryl, what stood out to you with this encounter with Jesus?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you for walking us through. You really just brought it to life. It was beautiful storytelling,
so
and I felt like I was right there in that moment. And I think I'll just start by saying the thing that's landing in my heart is when it comes to Jesus, nothing is wasted.
Oh, he's so good.
Nothing is wasted. Mm-hmm. My tears,
good.
The painful lessons, my worship, the long suffering, the waiting, all that we endure when we are with Christ, in Christ, all of it is redemptive. All of it is used. All of it God redeems in some beautiful way. And all of it he sees and is moved by.
Yes.
And you know, I'm thinking about, what the things that we endure that God will, what the enemy intended for hurt and harm. God will turn around for his good, his purposes, his glory. And so nothing is wasted. And I think that's such a beautiful thing, because that's what they kept yelling. It's such a waste, such a waste. Mm-hmm. But there is nothing.
It's good. It's really good.
So good, Cheryl.
I had never noticed that before, that the woman doesn't speak.
That really
stood out to me. And I think you painted this incredible picture of what the privilege looks like in that room and where it lies, which just makes her silence even louder, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So I think I was just struck by her incredible bravery.
Yes.
Like, these women we're looking at are brave.
So brave.
Yes.
I think there's something about what it means to be in the presence of Jesus that they don't care. Like, and there's this courage, and there's this, I have to meet him now, or in this case, I have to pour out everything and keep kissing. That was the other thing, that she kept on with this outpouring of the precious scent, but also her emotions. It's just welling up, right? She can't stop it. And all that in front of, like, all these blokes lying on their couches.
Yes.
There were so many standouts for me. I think first, when I read the story and reread it, and I'm listening to you, Anne, she knew Jesus was worthy of expensive perfume and of herself.
Yes.
Like, she's not giving a bit of herself. Like, to do that, what you're saying, is all of you.
Yes.
You cannot be like, I'm half in, half my hair is coming down, half the bottle of perfume is being poured. It was all in, everything of her.
Yeah.
But before that, it always gets me, I don't know the answer. But that's pretty brave to walk into Simon's courtyard. Like, she knew Jesus was there, and then she decides to go, and then demonstrate this. I mean, come on. Again, as we've talked about in the last, study and in these shows, it's like there's so many things that hold us back from just like going forward, showing up, going there and presenting our full selves to not just Jesus, but to one another in a very vulnerable way. So I think that was a huge standout, very vulnerable expressing to Jesus. I think the other things were her sins are forgiven, and whoever has been forgiven little loves little, but who's ever been forgiven like a lot, loves a lot in that way. And I think that's something that was like a standout for me, because I get forgiveness, because there's been a lot of things I've needed forgiveness for.
Amen.
And so I get the need for Jesus, this desire to be with him, because if there's someone who knows me completely and yet still sees me and loves me and forgives me, how can I not want to be with him? That was huge.
Yes.
And then I love, your faith has saved you, daughter, go in peace. Like, your faith has saved you. Look at what you are doing now.
Yeah.
Go in peace. Mm-hmm. And the call for going in peace is profound. Because she was not in peace.
No.
There are still a lot of things going on. Mm. And when he calls out now.
Deep shalom.
Yes. Deep shalom. Go deep in peace. Shalom. Your faith has saved
you.
So this is like 17,000, studies.
Yes.
But these are the things that have stood out.
Yeah. So good.
45-second story. The night that I gave my heart to Jesus, I had been picked up on the street by a street evangelist, along with some elements on our way to church on a Sunday night. And when I got there, the Holy Spirit literally convicted me. Long story short, I found myself finally, after the list of my life was prophetically read just by a pastor who didn't know me, he's like, there's someone here. And I remember I was bawling and crying from the pain, the abuse, all the things. And so many people tried to get me up. So many people were, it was too much, it was too loud. And I'll never forget, the pastor said, leave her there. You have no idea what she's been through. You have no idea what those tears are healing, washing away. Yes. It's a love language that only God understands. And I'm thinking about that woman and how we judge other people's faith walk and how we judge their volume and their noise and their approach to God. We have no idea what they have been forgiven of.
Yeah.
And that to your point.
Yes. Yeah.
Two things. Here in the text, Simon the Pharisee says, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you can hear the way he's saying it.
Her past.
He would know all of the things
that she has done.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is a prophet and he does know exactly who she is, and he welcomes all of her.
Beautiful.
Beth, like we saw last week, the woman with the issue of blood, this woman here with the alabaster jar, we go, oh, where does their courage and bravery come from? I truly believe their courage comes from Jesus' gracious compassion. Mm-hmm. It emanates from him. Mm-hmm. So when we are in the presence of his compassion, we are alone given, graced with such courage to step forward. I've been to Israel a couple of times, and our Messianic Jewish guide explained to us that when the Jews go ahead and they recite the Shema, where they go ahead and say, we're called to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and soul and mind, or our strength. He said in the original, what that actually means, strength, I took such comfort from this. Mm. What that actually means in Hebrew, the strength means your muchness.
So
Cheryl, when you're down there and she's too much,
she
comes in here and, oh my goodness, she's so scandalous, taking her hair down and crying and kissing. She's way too much. For every woman who has ever felt like, I think I'm just too much. No. That is how you love Jesus.
Yes.
You love Jesus with all of your muchness.
Yeah. That's
so
good.
So when you go ahead and you say, the ones who've been forgiven of much, they have shown me much love. Simon, you could be doing much for Jesus, but not actually be bringing Jesus very much.
Right.
But you would come with your wholeheartedness. You are never too much. You are meant to take all of your muchness and pour it out and anoint Jesus. Do not be ashamed of the muchness.
That's...
it is actually the fragrance of Christ in the room, the way you love him.
Beautiful. I am writing... do not be ashamed of your muchness.
No, you took that muchness, and that is what you loved Jesus much with.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Addison Espilla, one of the content producers here at See Hear Love. I just wanted to take a moment to invite you to join our community called the See Hear Lovelies. Here's how. Number one, sign up to our weekly newsletter. Every week, you'll get a personal note from Melinda with links to our shows, blogs, and resources, as well as inspirational content and a short devotional. You'll also be the first to know about upcoming events and giveaways. QR code is in the show description, or sign up through our website at seeherlove.com and look for the newsletter icon. Number two, join us in studio and be part of our studio audience. Take a behind-the-scenes tour in our master control room, editing suites, and studio. You'll meet Melinda and the See Hear Love co-hosts and guests. Email us at seeherlove@crossroads.ca for more info. And finally, number three, become a monthly partner. $25 or $50 a month will help us share our brave themes and conversations on television, here on podcast, YouTube, video streaming, and on our social media platforms. We can't do See Hear Love without donations and sponsorships, so please go to www.seeherlove.com/donate and give your one-time or monthly donation today. Become a See Hear Lovely and join our See Hear Love community of belonging, vulnerable and brave conversations. We are here for you.
Love that.
So when we sit with this encounter with Jesus, how does it inspire each of you? To live differently.
I'd like to pick up, Anne, on the where you finished there with the comment Jesus makes to Simon about you've been doing a lot and actually you're not doing anything.
Because
yes. Wow. Yes.
That's my answer, I suppose. because I all the way through this passage, I've been thinking about, well, what does hospitality really look like? Because Simon was at one level, you know, the host, and he's put on this big display, but it's really a display of wealth rather than, you know, it's about who am I? And it matters who his guests are because of the way they reflect on him, not because he wants to generously share with them. And then all that judging that's going on in that room, Cheryl, I was just, and just the true hospitality is in this story is what Simon sees as a shameless act. And I think, I think my categories for hospitality is too small and too narrow. So and
when I think about that, our hospitality, our theology is best expressed in our hospitality. How do we live with an open-mindedness, open-heartedness, open hands, open home. And as you can see, Simon was being hospitable. But if his theology is reflected in his hospitality, it really starts to break down. And then you see this woman with all of her sinfulness and this messy story. And her humble hospitality to welcome Jesus with all of her love, because she experiences Jesus' hospitality and welcome of all of her.
And Simon's missed even the basics. How rude not to wash somebody's feet when they're coming off a dusty road.
And here he is sitting, going, well, if this man was a prophet, he would know, oh, wait, you're a Pharisee and you didn't even go ahead and basic hospitality, which is convicting in my own life. How have I not even fulfilled the basics? Cheryl.
A couple of things are coming up. I'll be really quick. One, I'm going to kind of admonish myself that all the ministry for God does not equal ministry to God. And we can get so busy in the things and miss Jesus completely, one. Two, I'm reminding myself and anyone that's listening that our passion doesn't have to be polished.
So good.
There's a song that says, I will get even more undignified than this. And there's something about bringing our raw, authentic selves and losing all of the packaging. We get lost in that. And then the last thing is, what I saw for her, it was absolute pure worship, but just reminding myself that gratitude is worship. Just actually having this heart of thanksgiving and remembering, holding memory of what God has done is this beautiful act of worship as well.
And that could be judged so much in culture.
Oh, yeah.
As that gratefulness is Pollyanna and not very sophisticated. And that when I'm very sophisticated and nuanced and informed, I'm kind of jaded. But no. Our gratefulness before the Lord should be poured out worship, regardless of what the rest of the room thinks. So good, Cheryl. Melinda.
Yes, there's a couple things. I think it's very convicting, me putting myself in the place of those who are watching. Because I'm immediately judgmental. I'm immediately the person who's like, what is going on? First of all, how did she get in? This is VIP access. She doesn't have the VIP badge. How did she get in? Second, what is going on? This is embarrassing. It's uncomfortable watching. I feel embarrassed for her. I feel this is really awkward. It's embarrassing for Jesus, but really it's a reflection of me, of how uncomfortable I feel in the midst of somebody open and grateful and pouring herself out to Jesus, which then says to me, do I have the right relationship with Jesus? Like, I'm sitting in the judgment seat of this woman who has the purest, most open, raw love, and I'm judging her because why? Maybe because I can't love that way. I choose not to love that way. There are barriers keeping me back from Jesus. And so I'm really conflicted sitting watching this. I'm conflicted because maybe I'm uncomfortable. I'm conflicted because I want to be in that place. And I, for reasons that are there, I can't and I won't. And I'm feeling uncomfortable. And it seems to me that comfort is not this. It's the I am all in, all out there, giving of myself. So I sit in that seat of watching this happen. And then in that, do I have a relationship with Jesus that is vulnerable, expressive, loving in that way?
Do I?
Or am I wanting to be the
polished
look at me?
Right.
Look at the Instagram filter, Melinda, and everything's great.
Say it, Melinda.
Everything is great.
Right.
And yet, this story shows Jesus, your faith has saved you. Go in peace.
Yeah.
He didn't say that to anybody else.
Right.
No. And so, inspired to live differently, all of this. Mm. I think after this conversation, I need to have a little like check-in with Jesus and how we're doing on how we are relating, how I'm relating, how I'm loving. So really good. Deeply for me, this story has moved me deeply in these places.
Mm.
And for you.
Oh, I think I'm struck by the woman. She didn't have to speak. Mm. Her actions spoke. And how do my actions reveal my love for Jesus? Mm. She didn't have a towel, but she used her hair. What do I have? Just what little I have. I don't have to have a lot in my toolbox, per se. And others can even say, it looks scandalous. My goodness, your hair. I mean, grounds for divorce if you loosen your hair. But are my eyes so fixed on Jesus and my heart so passionate for Jesus, it doesn't matter what anyone else says. I will use what little I have to pour out before Jesus. And then I was really moved by it. Martin Luther called it her heart water that she washed Jesus' feet with.
Oh.
And I think about what is in my heart and how do I pour it out? You think, oh, I don't have an alabaster jar, but you have, what's in your heart is expensive. Mm-hmm. And how will you break your heart open and pour your life out for Jesus? Right now, Jesus is asking each and every one of us, will you come and take whatever is your alabaster jar, the expensive thing in your life that you would like to hoard and hold on to? Will you break the neck of it and pour it all out for me? What is he asking you to sacrifice and surrender that others might think that is a scandalous waste on Jesus? A waste of a life to go to that part of the world to share Jesus? Mm. A waste of a life to invest in this community? What would be seen as a waste by others that Jesus is inviting you to pour out because he alone is worthy?
Wow.
So I think for me, every time I get great comfort from this passage in Luke, that when we are mocked for our passion for Jesus, or whether we are seen as too much, or could you tamp it back a bit. Just a little bit. It's a lot in the room. Jesus doesn't reject my too muchness.
That's right.
Beautiful.
He invites me and asks me to use that muchness to love him much.
Beautiful.
So I have found this not to be just a place on a page, but actually a place for me to come and sit with Jesus. So thank you for inviting all of us into this, Melinda.
Thanks, Melinda.
Oh, thank you. And Beth, I know that the best way to kind of like seal this up is to pray.
Yes.
So why don't you lead us in prayer?
Yeah, let's sit with Jesus.
All right.
Lord Jesus, will you break our hearts where yours is broken so that we can love? We just thank you for the way that you accepted this gift from this woman as she anointed you. And you anoint us, and you will do that every day. All we have to do is come and bring all the things in our lives that maybe we're ashamed of, maybe that make us feel not worthy, and you will take them and you will restore and make new. So just pray that this will give us the confidence to show that generous hospitality in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. What a beautiful conversation.
Thank you.
Beautiful conversation. Thank you.
Thank you.
For bringing this alive. And Cheryl and Beth, look at my notes.
I know, right?
So you need to see the notes right here are written, in scribbles, but absolutely beautiful on the things, the too muchness, the grace and love of God coming full out. Thank you for sharing your story.
Yes.
Like those.
And that we can come with all of our broken past and find deep forgiveness with our repentance. Our repentance is such an offering to the Lord.
So thank you. Thanks again for just saying yes to this, for being part of the study. I so appreciate these thoughts and the scriptures coming alive, coming anew.
Yes.
So thank you. Also, we want to thank the Canadian Bible Society for their sponsorship in making this series possible. So thank you so much. And don't forget, as I've scribbled in mine, please sign up for the Bible study guide at seehearlove.com/Jesus Encounter Study. You can scribble like me. There are verses and prayers that you can pray with your group, with your church, and even by yourself praying these as well. And if you want to know more about us, seehearlove.com for all the information about us, to sign up for our weekly newsletter that I write about our shows, about what we're learning, where we are. You can listen to our podcast, download our free Bible study guide, and watch our past shows and join our community and follow us on Instagram for the behind the scenes and more about who we are. And as always, may the story of the women with the alabaster jar inspire you to follow Jesus and know that you are seen, heard, and deeply, deeply loved by God.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for listening to See, Hear, Love, the podcast with Melinda Estabrooks. We are able to do See, Hear, Love because of these generous sponsors. Tyndale University. Melinda and I are both Tyndale alumni. Tyndale is where you will experience high-quality academics interwoven with faith and a community of students and faculty that challenges you to live authentically, to follow Christ, and actively engage your culture. Visit www.tyndale.ca. The Canadian Bible Society champions the Bible as the voice of God, revealing Jesus Christ, the living word. Go to www.biblesociety.ca. Please check out these amazing organizations who are doing life-transforming work and who we are proud to be partnered with.